Welcome to the 24/7 Church Podcast. This week, Pastor Josh talks about shining the light of Jesus to others. We hope that the following message blesses you and your family. Enjoy.
All right. Very good, very good. Well, we're excited today about what God is doing. We have some special time prepared for the end of the service today. At the very end, we're going to spend some time in prayer for our students, teachers, all of the people that are involved in education. It's that time again where kids are going back to school and parents are getting to get into a routine that they, I would assume, more or less enjoy. Some people understand what I'm saying. Anyway, so so good to have all of you here, and welcome. I don't know if Pastor Chris mentioned this, but today is Miss Dana Martinez's birthday. I don't know if she's in the house. Is she in the house? No? Okay, well, when you see her, be sure to give her a hug and tell her happy birthday. Sing real loud and obnoxiously if you want. You got that one covered? Okay, great. Well, why don't you stand to your feet and let's open with the opening passage today that we have. It's found in the book of Matthew, chapter 14. I'm sorry, 5, verse 14 through 16. It says this: "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Today, Father, we ask that you would speak to our hearts and allow your word to transform our lives. We dedicate this time to you, and we dedicate ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be reseated. Have you ever felt powerless to make a difference? Have you ever felt powerless to make a difference? I know that as we have been going throughout time, I remember it was Jen and I were on the mission field, and we were ministering to families, and we would go and we would go down to where the tracks run, the train tracks run, because that is where all of the people that didn't have homes or money lived, because it was land that they could squat on. And so there were all of these lean-tos that were built out of cardboard boxes and those things. And we would go and we would minister, and we would take what we thought was so many groceries and so many clothes and so much, and we would get down there, and we would have the whole vehicle just piled full of groceries and gifts and things, and we would start down, and oftentimes we wouldn't even get down one side, and we'd already be out, and we would think about the other side, and so then the next time we'd go down, we'd start on the other side and try to make our way down that side. But the poverty was so real and so overwhelming, and you know, you see these pictures here in the United States, and you see certain cities where the homelessness and the poverty and the drug addiction is so strong and so rampant, and you think to yourself, man, how can all of this get fixed? Is there really a way that we can make a difference? And you see so many people who are struggling with so many different things in society. Their minds are caught up in all of the happenings, and sometimes it makes you wonder, am I really making a difference? I'm here to tell you today that you are not responsible. Say, I'm not responsible. I'm not responsible for the outcome. I am only responsible for my actions. Bible says one plants and other waters, but God gives the increase. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 through 8, it says, "I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. I can only control how I act and how I react. I cannot control you. The same is true for you. You can only control how you act and how you react. You can't control anyone else. That's what it means when it's talking about shining the light. See, my responsibility to you is to love you with the love of Christ. What does this look like? What does it look like to love you with the love of Christ? Mark chapter 12, 29 through 31. We've been in this the last few weeks, but I'm going to go there again. Mark 12, 29, 31. It says, one of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I'm sure that I've heard hundreds of sermons on this scripture and on these scriptures, but it's important for us to refresh. How do you love yourself? I want you to think about that. How do you love yourself? You love yourself unconditionally. Unconditionally. You do not put any conditions on loving yourself. Think about it. It doesn't matter how bad you've been, what you've done wrong, you're still going to get food. It doesn't matter what a horrible person you are, not you, what a horrible person you may feel like you are, you're still going to put clothes on, hopefully. It doesn't matter the issues that you go through in life and the things that you get wrong, you're still going to take care of yourself. You're going to take care of your need for clothes. You're going to take care of your need for food. You're going to take care of your need to sleep. You're going to take care of your need for knowledge. You're going to take care of your need for pleasure. Why? Because we live for ourselves. We withhold nothing from ourselves. We live to satisfy all of our needs, wants, and desires. That's just the reality. It's what we do. Think about it. And you say, well, sometimes I withhold that burger from myself. Yeah, because you want to take care of yourself. You know, sometimes I withhold myself from going to McDonald's or from Starbucks. Well, maybe because you're trying to take care of yourself, but you're still doing it for you, you know? Or maybe you say, well, sometimes I do things I don't want to do. I go to the gym. Yeah, but you're doing something that you are trying to take care of yourself. You're doing it for yourself. We live for ourselves. Even our relationships, everything in life that we do is ultimately for our own benefit. Even our relationship with God is that way. I mean, we go to church, we love Jesus, we do the things that we do what's right because it's for our benefit. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not criticizing this at all. You know, Jesus didn't condemn this. He used it as an example to help us to understand how we were to love others. Jesus said, in the same way that you love yourself unconditionally, that is how I want you to love others. What does that look like? What does it look like to love others unconditionally? I want us to look at the parable of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. If you have the YouVersion app on your phone, you can pull it up there. All the scriptures are in there. Or you can, if you have the, you know, the old thing called a Bible that you can flip through. It makes noise. It feels good in your hand. You know, that's, you can use that as well. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37. I'm reading out of the NLT, and it says, "One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. 'Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?' Jesus replied, 'What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?' The man answered, 'You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, all of your strength, and all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.' 'Right,' Jesus told him. 'Do this, and you will live.' The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, and when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, 'Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here.' Which of these would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits?" Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." You know, when I read this passage, I see all of our core values in action. I see kindness. I see authenticity. I see intentionality. I see servant leadership and community. But most of all, I see lifestyle worship. Lifestyle worship. I don't know about you, but when I look at this scripture, what I don't see is empathy. I don't see a false narrative of acceptance. Nobody sat around, talked about how this made them feel. There wasn't a support group where they sat around and talked about how bad it was and how we are all in this together. The Samaritan didn't look at the Jew in the eyes and tell him, "I just want you to know that I love and accept you just as you are. Now let's hug it up. Yeah, that feels good. Heart emoji, care emoji. Let's take a selfie and post it on Instagram. Hashtag share the love." It says, "Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him." He felt compassion for him. When you see the word compassion in Greek, it means to be moved, to have mercy, to be compelled to act on one's behalf. To be moved, to have mercy, to be compelled to act on one's behalf. But there's that the scripture was quoted from the Hebrew, right? It was quoted from the Old Testament. So let's look at the scripture in the Old Testament, Exodus 34, 5, and 6. It says, "Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him, with Moses, and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, 'The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness.'" The word compassionate in Hebrew literally means to demonstrate love in the form of mercy. To demonstrate love in the form of mercy. Let's look at a few scriptures regarding Jesus and his life. In Matthew chapter 14:14, it says, when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with what? He was moved with compassion for them, and what? And he healed the sick. Mark 6:34, Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Mark 1:41, then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Every time that we see the Bible talk about someone having compassion, there was action that followed. It's not just a feeling. Compassion is the ability, is my ability, reaching out to your need. That's compassion. Now here's where it gets into good. Y'all ready? Loving your neighbor as yourself is allowing God's ability, is allowing what? God's ability to be extended through you to meet the needs of others without reservation or condition. Remember what we said this last week, those of you who were here? If you weren't here, you can go back and watch that message. Being surrendered to God's will is doing things His way. Loving God with all of my strength is surrendering my abilities to His will. My strength is my time, my resources, my treasure, my abilities. I must surrender all that I am to Him and allow His will to become my strength. It's only in surrender that His plan becomes my plan. Then and only then am I able to fulfill my purpose as His power becomes my strength. You see, loving God with all of your strength is fulfilling God's good, pleasing, and perfect will by making him the source of your strength. Loving God with all of your strength is a journey of yielding to God's love. Here's the reason that loving your neighbor as yourself is part of loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. God's love is so powerful and all-encompassing that it is big enough to love the people that you hate and the people that hate you. I'm gonna let that sink in for a minute. It is impossible to be in love with Jesus. It is impossible to love Him with all that you are and not be moved with compassion toward the world around you. Living in God's love, loving God with all that you are, is the process of yielding to His love for you. This means that you must yield to God's love for others through you. You can't receive mercy and withhold it from others. You can't receive forgiveness and withhold it from others. You can't receive love and withhold it from others. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Matthew 6, 15, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. 1 John 4, 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. 1 John 4, 21, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. God has forgiven us. God has extended mercy to us. He demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All of this has been given to us freely and without limitation. When I put limits and conditions on the mercy and forgiveness and love and compassion that I extend to others, I limit my access to God's free gift. Matthew 7, 1 and 2 says, judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. I'm not sure why we're so quick to forget how messed up we really are without Jesus. The number one destroyer of our ability to be a light, the thing that will destroy our testimony in a heartbeat, is religious pride. Yeah, I have my sins and struggles, but I'm not like that. Look at that homeless person on the street, all strung out on drugs. They're perfectly capable of working. They're begging for money. I'm not going to help them. All they want is to buy beer and drugs. So lazy, they have no shame. What does God say about us? Your righteousness is like filthy rags. Like a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. The one who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is a sin. We lose sight of our own depravity. We say things like, what's wrong with all of these people that are getting abortions? What kind of a person would kill their own baby? What does God say to us? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. He who slanders his brother is in danger of hell. Have you ever participated in gossip? Have you ever talked bad about somebody? That's slander. What's wrong with all these people that voted for? No, I'm not going to go there. I'm just teasing. You have no idea what I was going to say. You think you do. 1 Corinthians 12, 10 says, therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. Are you ready for something that's so comforting? Let's look at this together, Psalm 103, verse 1 through 6. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives what? All your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from what? From the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all of the oppressed. Let us never forget the pit where God brought us from. Let us never forget who we are without him. It is because of his grace and his mercy that we have been redeemed, forgiven, rescued, loved. But for the grace and the mercy and the compassion of God, where would we be? Can we just take a minute right now? Can you just close your eyes right where you are? And I want you to begin to thank God for his love. Just take a minute right where you are. And I want you to think about all that he has done for you. His goodness, his mercy, his grace, his love, his compassion. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you rescued us. Thank you that you took us from that pit. Thank you, Lord, that you have redeemed us. Thank you that you've forgiven us. Thank you that you've healed us. Thank you that you've removed all of our sickness, all of our disease. Thank you, Lord, that you have wiped away our sin and our shame. Thank you that you've renewed us and you've given us a new life. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. Let's go back to the opening passage. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When Jesus is the king of your heart, the lover of your soul, the author of your understanding, the source of your strength, then you will be moved with compassion for the world around you. Letting your light shine isn't just about giving a homeless person a few dollars or a meal. It isn't just about standing on a street corner praying while holding a sign that says choose life. It isn't just about leaving a gospel tract with a few extra dollars and a note that says Jesus loves you for the waitress. All of those things are important. They're great. They're great. They are a great starting point. But letting your light shine is so much more. It's loving your neighbor as yourself. It's being moved with compassion and loving people back to Jesus. It's easy to get upset and angry about things that you don't agree with. It's easy to protest things that you consider are evil. But can you love somebody back to Jesus? It's a lot harder. It's a lot harder. It takes time. It takes being willing to be let down. It takes understanding that people are going to walk away. It takes understanding that there's going to be setbacks. We've got to keep walking. We got to keep walking, and we got to keep loving people. We got to keep leading people to Jesus. And it's done by serving. By serving others. Sometimes your neighbor is the random person on the street, and sometimes it's the person who lives across your street. Sometimes your neighbor is the person who goes to your church. Sometimes it's the person who lives in your house. No amens to that? Y'all are afraid. That's what it is. Sometimes loving your neighbor is a random act of kindness. But most of the time, loving your neighbor looks like loving people out of hell and back to Jesus. It's giving of your time, your talent, your treasure without limits. Loving your neighbor is serving others and meeting their needs even when they don't deserve it. Loving your neighbor is living in love. Love serves. This is letting your light shine. You know, I want the church to begin to start looking more like Jesus. There's a burden on my heart that the church would begin to look more like Jesus. We're so quick to get on our box and tell everybody else what they're doing wrong. It's so easy for us to condemn the world. And we do it all the time. But Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but to save it. If we do our part, God can do what only He can do. Sometimes it may feel like you are trapped. Sometimes it may feel like you are stuck in a position with things that just aren't going right. And you're asking yourself, what difference am I making? How am I really changing the world? How can I do anything different? And we get frustrated. And we get upset. And we get angry. Because we're trying to convince people with our words that they're wrong and we're right. And that's not how Jesus did it. Jesus served. Love serves. Love serves. Jesus came to restore the brokenhearted. He came to set the captive free. He came to heal the sick. He came so that all would come to know His love. It's hard to commit to love the people who keep letting you down. It's hard to love people that hurt you and mistreat you and talk about you. It's not easy to care for someone who keeps rejecting your love. Love does not quit. Love never gives up. God has not quit on you, and He will not quit loving you. Don't give up on others. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works. a saying that has been quoted many times. It's been around for years. I'm not going to give it to any particular person because there's controversy over who it was that originally said it, and that doesn't matter. But this is the statement. Preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words. Preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words. As we're closing, James chapter 2, verse 15 through 17 says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Letting your light shine is giving God's love freely to all without limits. This is loving your neighbor as yourself. Let us ask the Lord to fill our heart with compassion. Would you do that with me? Would you ask the Lord to fill your heart with compassion for the world, for the lost? Would you ask him to help us to let his light shine as we lead others back to him in love? Let's pray. Lord, we come before you today, grateful that you loved us, and grateful that your love endures forever. We're grateful that you did not give up on us. We are so thankful that even though we fail every single day, that you're still there, reaching out, loving us unconditionally. Jesus, help us. Help us to have your heart. Lord, as your word declares, freely you have received, freely give. Help us to not be discouraged by the things that we see and to understand we can make a difference. We can make a difference. But it's not up to us to determine the outcome. It is up to us to obey your word. We can only control our actions, but you take that and you multiply it by the power of your Holy Spirit. So I ask, oh God, that you would take the word and you would turn it into a seed that is sown from our lives into the lives of others. As we have received your love, we now freely choose to give your love without condition. Help us to be sensitive to your voice, Lord, that we would not just quickly give charity out of obligation simply just to do something, but Lord, that we would take the time to really connect with the person, with the individual, and we would love them back to you. That we would walk with them and bring them back to you, just like the Good Samaritan who took the time to bandage wounds, to pour oil, to put him on his donkey. Lead him to the inn. Care for him in the inn. Pay for him to be taken care of. And willing to even come back and pay any outstanding fees. Lord, help us to understand that this is how we love. This is how we shine our light. By caring for others. By allowing your love, your abilities, your strength to pour through us, meeting the needs of the world around us. And this is how your church will grow. Because this is what it means to be the church. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed still and eye closed, I would say, if there's anyone in this room or within the sound of my voice that would say, I've never known this love that you're talking about. I've never known the love of Jesus. But I want to know him. Today is your opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Are you tired? Are you in need of rest? Are you in need of the love of the Savior? Jesus said, if you will call on me, you'll be saved. It starts with a simple prayer. Today, if you're in this room and you would like to commit your life to Jesus, you would like to receive his love, we're going to say a prayer together in just a moment. But I want to come into agreement with you. And so if there's anyone here in this room or within the sound of my voice that would say, I never have made Jesus the Lord of my life, and I want to receive his love today, would you just slip your hand up right where you are so that I can come into agreement with you? Is there anyone in this room? Anyone in this room or in the sound of my voice? Let's say this prayer together right now. Say, dear Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. Thank you that you have come to seek and save those who are lost. Lord, I thank you that you died on a cross, that you forgave me of my sins. Lord, and I receive that forgiveness now. And I ask that you would come and that you would make me your child. I believe in you. I believe in your Son. And I receive you today as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you are blessed by this message, and thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social media platforms, including Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at My247Church. Remember, be the church 24/7.